Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
Yes, it's that time again. It's that New Year time again. Happy New Year to all those listeners that are listening. I am JT, a.k.a. The Master, a.k.a. ATM, or whatever you want to call me, and this is the FSP Crew Show. It's Thursday night, 8 p.m., and like I said, it's the first Thursday of the new year, 2013. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. 347-637-3220 is the place to be if you want to talk to my host and me. We'll also have a chat room. The chat room is open, always open season. Questions, comments, statements, you can do that all in the chat room, and we'll address them if you want on the air. As usual, I have my host, Jeff the Joker, here, and also I'm blessed with the founder of FSP. Happens to me, Mr. Gardner, who happens to be a good friend of the show and a good friend of mine and Jeff's. Welcome, guys, to the new year. Jeff first and then Mr. Gardner.
Oh, thank you, Jerry. Hello, Vic. Hello, listeners. Happy New Year. Glad to be here.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, God.
This is Mr. FS. What? This is Mr. FSP. Happy New Year. Jerry said, I don't know FHIT, so I guess I'll be Mr. I don't know FHIT today. But it's a new year. Hopefully we'll bring it in right because I plan to wild out and just do some crazy off-the-wall stuff.
Well, first of all, it's a new year, and it happens to be – it's pretty ironic. You know, I was going to start the show with there's several things going on about the coaching changes and pretty much a football legend. Even though he hasn't retired yet, he's going to be retiring. I also want to talk about some teams that and opinions of teams that should make some coaching changes that have not done yet. But before I do that, it's ironic, Mr. FSP, that you're on this show, third day into the new year, and it happens to be the first week of the new year. And in one of our fantasy leagues, we happen to be playing each other.
Oh, it's basketball. I don't care.
Well, it's obvious. It's obvious you do not care, but because you're taking a really bad ass whooping, and the week is not over yet. But I just
and which one, ESPN or Yahoo?
ESPN. I just found it ironic. You and I become pretty good friends. And it's just ironic because we banter back and forth when we go up against each other. And the first week of the new year, what happens? You and I are going up against each other.
Well, I'll say this because I don't want to exclude Jeff in this. I'm going to adjust my ESPN roster. You got me by 100 points or so because I think one of your players last night had 117 points. So that was the big difference. You don't have that big of a lead that it can't be overturned. But again, basketball isn't my thing. I'm gearing toward baseball. And I got your mom sitting here right here to help me prepare for the season.
And it happens to be over 400 points that I have you by, but who's counting?
Yeah, who's counting? 100 here, 400 there, it doesn't matter. But Jeffrey, you whooped Jerry's butt in the in the consolation side of the Parley Palace. How did
yes,
that
did.
Feel?
Yes, he did.
Yeah, you know, it was a shallow victory. No offense. You know what I mean? You know, it was just a consolation game. And, you know, congratulations, Vic. I mean, I'm going to send you an email, but I'm just getting over a cold. And I wanted to post some stuff in a bulletin board for the league because, you know what, now's the time to think about changes for next year while the season is still fresh in our heads, you know,
because
people forget stuff. And the thing is, I don't mess with fantasy baseball, so, you know, I football is like 12 months of the year for me. I'm doing a postseason league. I didn't think I was, but my buddy, and I don't know if this sounds kosher, he was doing one, and then he says, oh, I can't do it Friday night. Now you got to cover for me in my draft. I'm like, okay, but I don't want to do it. And you don't like the guys.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I guess that's big trust, you know. I'm kind of glad because most years I do a postseason league. I wanted to bring that up. And some of these postseason formats are very interesting, and some of them are more complicated than trigonometry because you're not just guessing who's going to have good games. It's also whose teams are going to stick around in the playoffs.
Right.
And you really got to fight and scrap for every point. So if you guys got any pointers, I'll take them. I mean, I've done this before. But, you know, I'm humble enough. I'm always looking to, you know, expand my horizons, you know.
I'll say this on that, and I'll let Jerry jump in if he wants. For fantasy football postseason and actual playoffs, go for the teams that are hot. Now, Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, I think they're going to beat Minnesota. Rodgers had a good game last week versus them, and then a couple weeks prior he did. So that's a sure bet. I think he's going to advance to the next level, where I think they're going to face either San Fran. Yeah, they'll face San Fran. So that'll be a good matchup again for him. Now, if you look at RG3 and Russell Wilson, that's a tough matchup there. I'm trying to stay away from both of those teams on the NFL playoff challenge because – I love my skins, but I don't know if RG3 is going to be able to maneuver enough around to keep that defense off balance. I know the team can beat Seattle. I know they can, but it's a little scary for me. So for my teams, I've got basically AFC players on mine and Aaron Rodgers and Greg Jennings. And Jennings says he doesn't even believe he's going to be a daggone Green Bay Packer next year. So this
that's
might
true.
Be his final game as a Green Bay Packer.
That's a strong possibility, yes. I think his contract is up or whatever. And just like Mike Wallace, neither one of those guys may be with the team that they're on right now. That's a strong possibility. Just think about it. He's going to be looking for a big contract. And why should they give him a big contract when they have all those receivers?
Well, that's what he said.
He said,
and his words were about Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson. He said they've emerged.
Right.
So, you know, Green Bay is known to pay little for good talent and to develop it. So he knows the business side of it.
Okay. I just wanted to put that out there. Jeff, in my opinion, you know, this is how I see it, okay? I played fantasy playoff challenge last year, and then after the fantasy football season, I geared up and played fantasy baseball. And after fantasy baseball, I transitioned into fantasy baseball and fantasy football. And then after fantasy baseball finished, I was into fantasy football, which transitioned me into fantasy basketball. And that, you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
After fantasy baseball is football is over, I'm still playing fantasy basketball. I'm a little burnt out on fantasy. So right now I'm only going to concentrate on fantasy basketball, actually playing it. If I was to go, I'd probably go with Vic's philosophy, but I'm not playing anything that has to do with fantasy football.
Well, that's smart. You got to know your limits, you know.
Yeah,
you got to pick and choose, you know. That
right.
makes sense.
So I'm clearing my mind from fantasy football, going into fantasy basketball, trying to gear up for fantasy baseball, I got some thoughts on changing my philosophy on fantasy football. So I'm clearing my mind from anything that. And I got some ideas of things that may happen in fantasy football. So I'm just going to keep my ear to the pavement to make sure I can come out on top in a few leagues that I didn't do well in. So
like I did this year. Good philosophy.
Oh, here we go. So, yeah, okay.
Well, I'm just saying.
I'm gonna let you rant like that and boast because you got the full dose of it, a lot of it last year from me. So I understand. I understand. I don't have a problem with it because I reap what I sow. So go right ahead. Whatever
no,
you got
I'm
to
not
say.
Gonna boast. I'm not
yes,
gonna
you
boast.
Are. Go ahead.
Say,
go ahead.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. All I was gonna say is, you know, I won 2 of the 3 championships, although they weren't for money, which
mm-hmm.
is okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I still won, but.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a champion, and champions, you know, roll with champions. So, you know, you need to get on board. But I wanted to ask Jeff. You know, Jeff's a champion. But, Jeff, what do you think, and because myself, Duke, and Jerry are discussing on my Facebook page about Andy Reid going to Kansas City. Now, I didn't think he was going to talk to Kansas City because of Scott Pioli there. They're talking about if Andy Reid goes to Kansas City, he's bringing in the ex-general manager of the Cleveland Browns with him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only sticking point in him not signing with Kansas City. Was that a shock to you guys? I want to start with Jeff first because I know he has feelings on Andy.
I'm kind of still, you know, you hear certain things and then you get surprised a little bit. I'm surprised he didn't at least talk to Arizona because it sounded like Arizona was the front runner. I mean, fighting for a guy despite a lengthy resume coming off a horrible season with some questionable decisions on his part. I think in Kansas City now you got a changing of the guard because the son, what was the guy's name? Hunt. I forget the son's name.
Lamar Hunt.
Lamar Hunt.
Well, his son. I forget the son's name. Clark Hunt, I think.
Clark Hunt, you're right.
Nelson Hunt was the owner for many, many years.
Mm-hmm.
I think one of the founding owners of the American
yes.
Football League.
Yes.
And I think he passed away, and now the son is he owns a team, and he wants to call the shots and be more hands-on.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is, it doesn't make sense. I mean, if you fire your coach, shouldn't Pioli be the guy hiring him? And if you're going to fire the GM, you should have done that last week. You know, I don't know. Something about it is weird. And you know, I remember years ago, I remember Mike Ditka was saying some things. He was upset that Lovie Smith got fired. A lot of people were. That was probably the most noteworthy. He didn't make the playoffs, but he went 10-6.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember years ago, Ditka... And actually, he said it a few times. He doesn't care for the owners of the Bears, and he said why. He said because McCaskey just inherited the team. He never did anything in his life. He just inherited everything, including the Bears. And I was kind of thinking that about the owner of the Chiefs. I mean, I don't know much about Clark Hunt, but what has he done, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
you
might not like a guy like Mark Cuban, but he made the money. You know, he did a lot. That guy is very sharp. He didn't just come out of the womb and step into zillions of dollars, you know. It's a valid point, you know.
Well, I think that the Hunt family has been football people for quite a while, like you said. They were one of the founders of the AFL. So they have football blood in them. So even though it may be the father who – first started the ownership of the Kansas City Chiefs and helped found the AFL. Any of his sons or son of sons are in the what they call the family business. So I think they all are tuned to what works and what can't work in the football part of it. It's just the fact that they thought they had a decent general manager who picked a decent coach that hasn't worked out for the last two coaches. And from what I understand, after the beginning or at the end of the year, after regular season, that they got rid of Romeo Crennel, but they were evaluating Scott Pioli's position in the organization. This may be the out that they needed. And nowadays, if you want an NFL coach, if you want a head coach, and you really want the coach, you got to be extremely aggressive. Kansas City came to Philly to talk to Andy Reid. The Cardinals were going to send a plane. That's different. That means that's a hell of a lot more commitment from Kansas City sending a committee that had to do with the owner, Scott Pioli, and some other representatives from the team to Andy Reid versus the Cardinals sending a plane to pick him up, which they canceled the trip because of Andy Reid supposedly accepting this job. It's just a matter of hashing out minor details. So,
yeah.
And this is one of the things I was going to talk about. Let me play this quick clip from Adam Schefter, and I'm going to give you my thoughts after this, why this is a real good move for the Chiefs.
Adam, what is the very latest?
A situation here where essentially the Kansas City Chiefs are now on the verge of hiring Andy Reid as their next head coach. The two sides spent the day yesterday meeting in an airport, a private airport in Philadelphia. There are still minor details to work out between the two sides, but I'm told that the major issues have been discussed and agreed upon to make Andy Reid the next head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. They still have to go through the process here and figure out how they can get this done. But, again, all signs now point to Andy Reid going to Kansas City. One assistant coach texted this morning that he's going to the Kansas City Chiefs, not the Arizona Cardinals. And so this looks like it's only a matter of time before it gets done right now.
Okay. I wanted to play that clip. For those who have Jamaal Charles, if he's not one of the top five, he's going to be now. I tell you that right now.
PPR.
Just
PPR.
Just think
PPR.
Of this. Just listen to this. Brian Westbrook and LeSean McCoy. Just think of those two guys and the uptick of how they were in fantasy under Andy Reid. Jamaal Charles, both of you guys know, as much as I complain about Brian Daboll and his play calling that pertains to Jamaal Charles, well, if and when Andy Reid gets hired and he becomes the coach, he's got a new toy to play with Jamaal Charles.
More than one toy.
I understand that. But in Andy Reid's system, there's no running back by committee. He has one back. He has one back, and he's going to play with that one back. That one back's going to do a lot, running the ball and catching the ball in space.
I agree. But I want to take it to a different side, though.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that Baldwin and possibly Bo, if Bo stays, become more valuable if they get a quarterback? Now, Vic can end up following him to Kansas City, where he has a better offensive line.
Yes, they do.
And, you got that Westbrook-like player in Jamaal Charles, but you have two bona fide big boy threats on the outside, and you still got Tony Moriarty at tight end and a better defense.
Well, that's true.
So,
The key is this. The first thing you came out with was a quarterback. The key is getting a decent quarterback to be able to get the ball and to be an effective threat in the passing game. So Jamaal Charles and company Jamaal Charles in particular can be a threat in a running game. So as it was in Kansas City before, the play calling was so sporadic and the quarterback play was so sporadic that at times Jamaal Charles didn't get the amount of touches. You and I both know because you were owners, we both were owners of Jamaal Charles, that mm-hmm. didn't get the amount of touches that warranted a player like Jamaal Charles. Now, if Andy Reid signs, it's more imminent that he will, signs, you know that Jamaal Charles is probably jumping for joy right now because of past history and how Andy Reid deals with running backs, especially one running back versus a committee of running backs. So, yes, I do believe if a quarterback like Michael Vick, who gets behind a lot better line than they had against in Philly, with two big wide receivers on both sides of both ends of the formation, along with a good tight end, that's a hell of an offense to deal with. That's a hell of an offense to deal with.
Well,
in real life and fantasy.
Well, see, that's what I'm talking about. You know,
mm-hmm.
And I don't mean to cut Jeff off because I know you have something to say about it too. But I'm serious. But when you look at the possibility that Kansas City has, Kansas City is just like the Redskins. Last year, we were terrible because we didn't have the quarterback. We had a
mm-hmm.
decent running game, a very good defense, and the kicking game was okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now that we have RG3, we're a playoff team. We're a division champion. You know, you give them a decent quarterback, and that's all it needs. They could challenge Denver for that division now. That automatically would drop, in my opinion. If you give them a decent quarterback, that would drop San Diego and Oakland down to like a 5-11 team. Because they're not going to beat Kansas City with a good quarterback and that strong defense. So that's my opinion.
What do you think, Jeff?
Something you said, one of these things that fantasy football guys say that cracks me up. No one owns Jamaal Charles. He is a free man. Perhaps you've heard of the Emancipation Proclamation, my friend. I almost never say that. Because it sounds so ridiculous, you know, when somebody says, oh, I own that guy. It's usually some loser who lives in his mother's basement who barely owns the clothes he's wearing. You guys don't fall into that category.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is the lexicon of fantasy football. Like, it cracks me up when I usually talk about other teams, other GMs. I don't like the term owner. It sounds too grandiose. You know what I mean? It's like, somebody once says, oh, yeah, I got to email the other owners. Like, makes it sound like, you know, a bunch of, you know, real rich dudes flying around in jets and whatever. It's like, no, I'll email the other guys, you know, the other GMs, the other, you know, whatever. I don't know. I try to stay away from those terms. But I'll tell you, with Clark Hunt, I mean, who knows? He might be qualified. But you ever have a job where the boss's son is there?
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's absolutely horrible, and the only reason he got the job is you know why. And
yeah, sure.
It kills the job, and
mm-hmm.
nobody respects the dude. And I'm not saying Clark Hunt is that guy, but he might be.
That's true.
It must be nice, because that Hunt family is very wealthy. But years back, Nelson Hunt, Lamar Hunt's brother, Nelson, got in trouble for trying to manipulate the silver market and lost a bundle. But that's probably one of the richest families in the world. And they got one brother, I don't know if he's still alive, who is in a mental institution who's worth $500 million, maybe more, and doesn't even know it, you know?
Really?
Go figure. Yeah, yeah. But I think it was M.L. Hunt was the patriarch of the family. And he actually had, you know, two families. He had, you know, started a family with two different women. He was married twice. And Lamar Hunt, No, no, well, he got divorced, you know. And, no, he's, I don't
Mitt
think
Romney,
he was.
Mitt Romney. I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Right? Yeah. But, you know, Lamar Hunt was from the first family. And, yeah, it's interesting. What, and I'll tell you, that, you know, that, you know, that's been the same ownership, I mean, same family for 50 years. That's a long time. There's only a few other teams like that, the Giants, the Steelers, maybe a couple others. But, you know, not too many teams have that kind of stable ownership. Now they just got to stabilize the front office and the coaching in Kansas City.
Yeah, I hear you. All right. Well, let me put it this way. Jamaal Charles happens to be one of my players on the, one of the teams that I have. Well, not just one. He's on a few teams that I have. A couple of the leagues I'm in are keeper leagues. And I'm going to pose this. I know it's early, but I'm going to pose this to you guys anyway because I'm still contemplating on what I'm going to do here. I have a keeper league. It's a PPR, okay? I have a choice of three players to keep. Two of them running backs, one a quarterback. The one quarterback is Robert Griffin III, and the two running backs is either Arian Foster or Jamaal Charles. Who do I keep?
Who are these? You can keep two or three total.
One.
One out of the three?
One.
Out of the three.
Mm. One out of
you
the
know,
three.
Now, is it 6 points for touchdown passes
6 points
or
for
four?
6 points for touchdowns.
And
like
you
said
it's PPR, right?
PPR, yes it is.
Ooh, that's tough. I'll tell you, PPR, Jamaal Charles looks pretty darn good. Look at it this way. That's one of these things. Look at it this way. You got three good choices. It's better than having three bad choices.
That's
so
true.
You look at it that way. That's a good way to look at it. So you look at it that way, it's hard to botch, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about you, Mr. Gardner, since I don't know S-H-I-T?
Well, I'll say this. Out of those three, who would you consider number one overall draft pick or a first-round draft pick?
Oh, the two running backs, for sure. Robert Griffin III, probably a late one first-round draft pick. But I'm not a first-round quarterback draft pick.
I got you. Mm-hmm. I got you. So that automatically eliminates RG3, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that leaves you down to Foster and Charles.
Right.
Now, if Foster continues to struggle over the last couple of games like he has going into next season, that means it's going to be rough sledding for him next year. Jamaal Charles has a lot of uptick in it. He got 1,500 yards. Well, almost 1,600 yards this year in a timeshare with reduced touches off of a repaired ACL. If Andy Reid goes there, you already know that he's going to be a top five fantasy player. Not just a top five running back, but a top five fantasy player.
Mm-hmm.
For me, depending on my draft position next year, because I don't know if you know that or not, but for me, I would go with Foster, because if I know that I have like a top four pick in the draft coming up, I just get Jamaal Charles again. But if you put Arian Foster out there and you're a top four pick, Arian Foster is going to be the first pick taken. I'd say strategy, because right now a lot of people got Jamaal Charles. I got him where in the fourth, fifth round. In pretty much all the drafts I did this year. He didn't have an explosive year that everybody's talking about him. So that means his value to a lot of people is down. But with Andy Reid there, we all know it's going to go up. So I would keep Arian Foster. If I have a top four or five pick coming up next year, I would then go ahead and pick up Jamaal Charles with that pick. And you could possibly have all three again next year if you play your cards right. That's just the way I would do it.
So you would Keep who?
Arian Foster. Well, again, it depends on my draft position. Depends on my draft position next year. If you know you're going to be the fourth overall pick next year or the third or whatever case may be,
mm-hmm.
I would go ahead, keep Arian Foster, and take my chances of getting Jamaal Charles back in the next draft in the top four or five picks.
In the next round?
I don't know where you're picking. You know how it goes, right? The first round's already done, so you start with the second round. But it starts from the regular order. So it'll go, serpentine, I believe.
Yes, it was so serpentine. That means I would have the bottom part of the second round. There's
excuse me, guys. I'm watching the Oregon-Kansas State game.
I know. He just opened it with a kickoff return.
Whoa.
That dude is fast. That dude is fast.
But I can't do play-by-play because that's against the law. So they got those disclaimers. You know, people pay big bucks to do play-by-play, so I can't do any play-by-play. So don't want to break the rules.
Well, I do play-by-play. That dude is fast.
Yeah, well, that's color. You can do color commentary. You just can't do the play-by-play.
Okay.
Okay.
But again, if it's a 10-team league, right?
Right.
Top four or five picks, that means you're picking in the middle, right? So if you're picking in the middle, there's a great opportunity for you to go ahead and pick him up either way, if you're picking in the middle.
Yeah, but...
from beginning to the middle.
Yeah, but chances are from if it's a keeper league, and I keep Arian Foster, Jamaal Charles is definitely not going to be there by the time it comes back to me.
It depends, man. It depends on where you are in the draft. I mean, you should know, at least I would know, where I'm picking right now. Because in keepers, you know, normally it's two players that you keep. So
mm-hmm.
then you go back from top to bottom. But since you're saying only one, that means the league champion gets the first pick in the draft.
No.
Which is kind of...
No.
Sad.
No.
No?
The way it works is the worst team gets the first pick. They either have a keeper and they keep the keeper, and then quite naturally they lose that pick in the first round. Well, you don't
mm-hmm.
have to keep a keeper. You can and you have an option of keeping a keeper, or throwing all your players back, and then you would have to quite naturally if you're the worst team with the worst final season, end of season record, then you would get the first pick.
Honestly, if that's the case, I still go with Arian Foster because a lot of people are not going to see Jamaal Charles having a 2,000 yard plus receiving and running season. I mean, even with Andy Reid there, they're not going to see it until it's too late.
Ooh, I don't know about that, man.
I think he'll be in the second for you.
I the cat's out of the bag on Charles. Second year back after the injury, I think a lot of guys are going to like him. A lot of guys are going to like him in the first round.
Absolutely, especially his first year he ran for over 1,400 yards. He's going to be that much stronger next year with a coach that showcases the running back a lot. Ooh. That just screams top five in the first round, in my opinion, man. I mean, he went in the first round in a lot of drafts. I know he may have went fourth in your draft, but he went first round in a lot of drafts because he was healthy, even though he came off the ACL. Some people weren't squeamish on him. Some people were strong on him and grabbed him early. So,
But JT, I mean, I got to say this, you know, you take a chance on giving up Arian Foster, who is the heart and soul of the Texans, your team.
I understand
that. Should be a top, you know, three or four, if not top five pick next year, for a chance at a guy that might be a top five fantasy player. This is just me. I play the odds of, you know, having Arian Foster on my team and trying to get Charles back. I mean, if somebody doesn't keep a keeper, that means their team is completely full of garbage. And you might lose them, but you still might be able to get RG3.
We'll see. That's I'll table that for now because that's in the far future. We do have Black on the line. I know Black wanted to talk about
the Cowboys.
Well, not just the Cowboys. He wanted to talk about a certain person that happened to pass away. Black, welcome and Happy New Year to you. Black, I hear you. You there? Hello, Black.
He might be in a situation where he can't talk.
Oh, he called in. I thought he would say, Black, you there? Well, anyway, wait for Black to respond. Hopefully he will respond. He's on the line. I also wanted to talk about, besides Andy Reid, I also wanted to talk about the icon in Baltimore. Talking about
Victor Gardner, awesome.
Yeah, the icon who they call Ray Lewis in Baltimore addressed his team and said that this will be his last ride. I have a clip. Let me play the clip and then we'll talk about it.
If you love Baltimore sports, you'll love WNST.net.
I talked to my team today, and I talked to them about life in general. And everything that starts has an end. It's just life. And for me, today I told my team that this will be my last ride. Yeah. And I told them I just felt so much peace in where I am with my decision because of everything that I've done in this league. I've done it. I've done it, man. There's no accolade that I don't have individually, but I've never played the game for individual stats. I've only played the game to make my team be a better team. And now, God is calling. God is calling in so many other areas of life. And my children, my children have made the ultimate sacrifice for their father. The ultimate, for 17 years. And whether it's jump on a plane, jump right back, go to school. And I don't want to see them do that no more. I've done what I wanted to do in this business. And now it's my turn. It's my turn to give them back something.
If you love Baltimore sports, you'll love WNST.net.
All right, Ray Lewis.
I hate that cheap.
Huh?
I hate that cheap advertisement.
Anyway, if Indianapolis happens to beat Baltimore in Baltimore this weekend, it will be the end of Ray Lewis's career. As a middle linebacker in Baltimore and the Baltimore Colts, ironically playing against the Indianapolis Colts, and against their the old head coaches on Baltimore going against his former team. So it's pretty ironic. There's a lot of ironic things happening between those two teams in the playoff game. But the thought is with Ray Lewis. Any thoughts that you guys want to convey about Ray Lewis retiring? I'll go to Jeff first and then Vic, and then hopefully Black will comment too.
First ballot Hall of Famer, one of the best middle linebackers ever. What more could I say? Guy, this is a cliche, but heart and soul of that team, no doubt. And sometimes a guy like him who 17 years, very impressive, it seems like they're going to go forever, but nobody can go forever, no matter how good they look. He I think sometimes a guy like him, people just, you know, they see him and, you know, he's obviously physically gifted. But, you know, he was serious in his practices. He was serious in the meetings, the workouts, even the nutrition. This guy was dedicated. He didn't just roll out of bed and start, you know, making tackles like crazy. This guy was focused. He was dedicated. This is how you're successful in life. And I think that probably rubbed off on a lot of his teammates. And I'm sure he influenced a lot of these guys. You wonder what's going to happen with that team, with that defense, because, you know, Ed Reed is, with all due respect, is no spring chicken. But, yeah, there's no doubt. 5 years from now, Ray Lewis will be working on his Hall of Fame induction speech. Wow.
Dick.
Any dogs in the house? Ooh, 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 ooh. Any dogs in the house? Ooh, ooh, ooh. Let's go to the house. Let's take it to the house. Ooh. DB's on three. I mean, LB's on three.
What?
That's Ray Lewis.
What?
That's
what?
That's what Ray Lewis does before that's not what he does. But anyway, no, I was saying I was doing that as a thing as to what Ray Lewis touched that team up. Jeff said it perfectly. You know, he's the heart and soul of that team. However, over the past couple of years, they've been dealing with his injuries, and I think the linebacker core is good. Now, you need somebody to step up in the middle and be as dominant as Ray Lewis is and, you know, and has shown. Again, Jeff said it. Ed Reed's no spring chicken. Ed Reed might be the next one to go. If not at the end of this year, maybe next year. I think that his impact on the game, has been, it goes well beyond his on-field accolades. He's one of those guys that has shown the ability to lead a group of men and inspire a nation. What I mean by that is, you see kids trying to be like Ray Lewis. You see grown men that are like in their 50s and 60s inspired by Ray Lewis. I don't know if you saw the A Football Life, how he inspired that one man and passed away and all that.
Right.
But, you know, his accolades go well beyond the football field. And there aren't too many people in that profession that are willing to give it all up. People criticize Barry Sanders for giving it up at the peak of his career. You know, Ray Lewis isn't at the peak, but he's not that far off of his peak. You know, he's still able to do his job. So, he'll be missed. I wish he would have played for the Redskins, but, you know, we got London Fletcher. We all right. We all right. We all right.
Black, you there? Black's still
in. Any blacks in the house? Woo, 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 woo. Any blacks in the house? Woo, woo, woo. Just take it to the house. I'm just saying.
Oh, boy. Anyway, I just wanted to play that and get your guys' thoughts on Ray Lewis retiring. I tell you the truth, Ed Reed, for the last couple of seasons, said he was going to retire and change his mind and came back. I think if it's one of his friends on the team and some maybe a confidant or some guy that he talks to each other is leaving, he may have the final push to get him to leave also. So I wouldn't be surprised if Ed Reed comes out here and says, I'm leaving, and sticks to it this time. With that being said, I want to go to there's a college coach that's his team is playing in the Fiesta Bowl today. Happens to be against Kansas State, Oregon, against Kansas State, who happens to be one of the hottest sought-after coaches from the college ranks. I'm talking about, you guys know what I'm talking about, Chip Kelly, the coach of the Oregon Ducks. I don't know too much about his spread offense, but there's a website that breaks it down in film about his spread offense is fishduck.com/playbook that has several clips breaking down his spread offense. I have a clip from an interview that Jerome Bettis had on a local station, I think it was in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken, asking him how well that spread offense, the Chip Kelly offense or whatever, would fare into the NFL. Let's listen to this.
What do you make, Jerome, of this ever-evolving offensive system based in college that's making inroads into the NFL right now? And that Chip Kelly would be a viable option. I don't think 5 years ago anyone in the NFL would have thought that offense would have ever worked in the league.
I'll tell you this. He's not going to be able to institute that offense 100%. It'll have to be similar to what Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
In the sense of they do it sparingly. They do some things
right.
In that area. They don't do a whole lot because the problem you have is just the Redskins found out when your quarterback gets hurt. Now the backup quarterback, if he's not familiar, you've got to totally change off.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think you're going to see that wholesale commitment to that type of offense because if you do, that means now you've got to institute your starting quarterback that way, your backup quarterback, and your first-string quarterback, and that's going to be very difficult to be that one-dimensional in the NFL. It's such a dangerous proposition with your quarterback running with the football that I don't think you can do that 100% of the time.
All right, Jeff. I want you to comment on what you think of Chip Kelly coming into the NFL and also of the Jerome Bettis comments about him bringing that offense to the NFL.
For many years, a lot of people in the NFL, coaches, GMs, players, fans, have been very much against college coaches coming into the NFL as head coaches. Of course, Jimmy Johnson was successful, but now Greg Schiano had a pretty good season in Tampa. People refer to Pete Carroll as a college coach, but he coached two NFL teams before USC. So it might be a college style, but he's not just a straight-up college coach. So now, especially now because there's so many head coaching vacancies, these, quote, college coaches are a little more in demand. My thing is, I mean, if you're a rebuilding team, you know, the coach could learn with the team if there's a little bit of a learning curve there. If you're ready to win, I don't see bringing in a college guy. But, you know, good head coaching candidates are hard to find. And, you know, what are you going to do, keep recycling guys? But, hey, sometimes recycling works because look at Belichick. He got fired from Cleveland before the Patriots. And everybody's looking – that's why, you know, guys get recycled. But and the thing is, I think something to help Greg Schiano, which, you know, we're really tight because we're Jersey guys, because his offensive coordinator used to go to my barber. So we're practically like brothers. And no joke, his coordinator went to my barber. And the thing is, something in Schiano's favor, his head coaching job was at Rutgers, and he built that program. He really did, and he turned down a lot of jobs before Tampa. He was a position coach with the Bears in the 90s, and that gave him some NFL experience, and I'm sure that was very valuable.
Right.
So it wasn't like he was only a college coach. But I could see the right college guy being successful in the NFL. I think, and this guy isn't strictly a college coach, I think Bill O'Brien did wonders in Penn State, and he would be a fool to stay there because with those sanctions, that isn't what he agreed to when he took that job. He
right.
would be a fool to stay there, and I think Cleveland likes him, and believe me, leaving Penn State makes about as much sense as hopping off the Titanic. I still loathe Penn State. I feel bad for the players who got to deal with it, but O'Brien, was a top coordinator with the Patriots, did miracles at Penn State, and now he's looking at an NFL head coaching job, and I hope he gets it.
Vic, as a former offensive coordinator, your thoughts?
Well, okay, former offensive coordinator, I can't disagree more with what the soundbite said.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why I say that is because if your offensive coordinator can develop, and which is Chip Kelly, an offense for a unconventional quarterback, that tells me that he can also develop an offense for a traditional drop-back passer. And that's why I think Kyle Shanahan is more of a valuable asset as a head coach to a team right now that's trying to move in that direction, because right now the trend isn't just the black athlete at quarterback. It's the black, white, Latino, Hawaiian, or Pacific Islander quarterback that's mobile,
mm-hmm.
that can throw the ball. Chip Kelly can bring a new dimension to that option offense, that read option, the inside zone read, the outside zone read. Just because you're in the shotgun or in the pistol doesn't mean you can't run those formations. All it means is that you're in an I formation with the quarterback a few yards in front of the running back, or you're in a split eye with the quarterback right there where you have that read option to the fullback or halfback. As offensive coordinator, I think that depending on what you have to change it. I'll give you an example before I get to that other to the other Bill O'Brien thing, because I thought that was an interesting comment that Jeff made. My first year coaching that team, I went with a traditional offense. I brought in a few wrinkles like a power eye and a few other things, but I went with a traditional offense. And I didn't know or didn't realize that the quarterback I had at the time could run the option until I threw in a few option plays from the double tight end formation. He said he was an option quarterback in college.
Mm-hmm.
So then, thinking he was going to come back for the next season, I brought in the pistol. I brought in different formations, the diamond, which I call the diamond. I don't know what the Redskins call it, but I call it a diamond formation. You have, it's a wishbone, but you've got the quarterback in a shotgun formation,
mm-hmm.
And stuff like that for a more mobile quarterback. But we still kept our double tight end sets, our I formation, our strong, our weak, our far, our near. We kept those formations because they're basic formations and they're not hard to run. So I think Chip Kelly can be a great coach now that they're incorporating the option into pro football. As far as Bill O'Brien goes, he has a $9 million buyout clause in his contract. So even though he's about to interview with Cleveland and I think one other team, if he does do it, he's going to owe them $9 million. I don't know how much he's going to get from either Cleveland or any other team. I don't think he's a $9 million a year coach, but you never know. I think his brand of football fits well in the pros because it's a pro style. However, he would have to adapt to the college style, even though he's seen it maybe once or twice playing in the Big Ten. I don't think I know that Ohio State ran the read option, and that was a good game. Penn State did pretty well versus Ohio State for the first two or three quarters, but then they got crushed towards the end of the game. So it's not like he hasn't seen it, so he can defend against it.
Mm-hmm.
But he will be a decent coach. I need to see him do a couple more years in college before I would offer him a head coaching job, because he was only offensive coordinator for New England for 1 year. He was an assistant offensive coach for like two or three. So that's my thoughts on him.
All right. I Black wanted me to do this. I don't know if you know about this, not Vic. A guy named Jamar Board, aka the Silent Assassin. He may not be a household name like Kevin Durant, but many of your favorite household name ballers know and respect the deadly left-hand shooter from the D.C. nicknamed the Silent Assassin. He wasn't highly recruited high school player, AAU star, and he played in Division II school where he didn't get much pub. But his scoring outburst at the Goodman League is a type of stuff legends are made of. 43 here, 75 there, raining lefty threes, three-pointers everywhere. For those lucky enough to have seen him and his shot, it was a thing of beauty, but unfortunately for the rest of the world, it's a sad fact that you will never will, as the ugliness of death and guns took its life, which was on December 29th. Many friends in the NBA and streetball industry took to Twitter and Facebook to honor their friend and D.C. legend. Kevin Durant even wore Rest in Peace, R.I.P., Silent, on his shoot on the 29th against the Rockets. Kevin Durant also tweeted Rest in Peace to Jamar Board, a.k.a. Silent Assassin, one of the best hoopers we've ever seen in the DMV, which is the Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. D.C., Maryland, Virginia area. Prayers up for his family, and damn, man. I also have a clip I want to play, and then, Vic, you may want to comment on this.
The most important thing you have when stepping on that court is your name. And it's often the hardest thing to live up to. It tells everyone who you are. And like life, it doesn't come easy. It's not given out like charity, you have to earn it. To where people don't fear the number on your jersey, but the name on your back and what it represents. So when Jamar steps in the gate, they don't fear Jamar. They fear Silent Assassin and what he represents.
Berry Farm, you definitely gonna get my best, and you definitely gonna get 30 put on you every game down there. You definitely ain't gonna get no quiet. So you gonna get the Silent Assassin. You gonna get the guy that's gonna come at your neck every play. Every play you check me, strap your boots up.
All right, Vic, you got any words about this?
I'm going to be honest. I wasn't familiar with him until Black and Mac had posted it on their pages. I'll say this. There's a lot of inner city youth that have a lot of talent, not just in D.C., but just around the world, in the slums of France or Italy, Spain, wherever, you know, D.C., Chicago, L.A., they have a lot of talent. And for whatever reason, they don't make the pros or they don't make the semi-pro leagues that will get them the recognition and the money that they deserve. I'm not saying money could have changed this guy, the outcome of this guy's life, but he's a young guy that had a lot of talent. The only thing I can say is, you know, people got to leave their environments and people have to leave their comfort zones to understand, you know, what's going on in the world and life. You know, I've got friends that have lived in D.C. their entire life. The furthest north they've been is New York City. Further south they've been is probably North Carolina. And that's the extent of their travels and living, not just visiting, but living somewhere. It, that young man's life could have meant a lot more than just a memory of him on the basketball court. Because if he had the opportunity to play in the pros like KD, and he is that good, I would say he could have made a difference in a lot of people's lives, including his own. So my message to everyone in the world, or everybody listening, is, you know, you might be a star on the hard top, but what is it you're missing to be a world star on the hard court? Just something to think about. From what I'm saying, it was a violent death. I'm not saying he was a victim of gang violence or anything like that, because I don't know. But, you know, things need to... Guys like him are stars on the DVDs and things of that nature. And they can be stars worldwide. But their elements and their surroundings keep them from making that jump. So I really hope that it was an accident for his passing. I don't know the particulars, but that's the only thing I can say. Victor Page, we had him on the show. Victor Page is a prime example. You thought that he was doing something to a girl on the show and how incoherent she was. That's another example of talent being wasted because of the elements of whatever. So may he rest in peace, but I really hope that his life wasn't taken for something really petty and something stupid, because it would be a real, real big waste.
Well,
that's it.
Well, I appreciate that, Mr. Gardner. I was going to go over something else, but I'll table it for another day. Had to do with Black's team, the Cowboys. I'll table that. Maybe I'll cover it on the master plan along with some other things I want to talk about. Anyway, with that being said, I want to thank Black, even though he never said a word, but he definitely probably listened. I want to definitely appreciate Jeff for calling in and participating, and for especially Mr. Gardner for calling in and adding his comments to the conversation. Tune in next week, 8:00 Eastern Standard Time, where another edition of the FSP Crew Show will take effect. Tune in tomorrow will be No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm the host, along with Mac, who will be the host of the No Chaser. Starting the new year off, we're going to be having quite a few guests that are going to be rolling through, starting not this week but next week. I think probably every week we're going to be having a special guest of some type from different venues, either local businessmen in the DC area, or sports talent, basketball, maybe football. Well, we'll be dealing with all those type of persons coming through. And also on Saturday, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, would be the FSP show, who's hosted by none other but Mr. Vic Gardner, co-hosted by myself. I don't know if we have anything special going on this weekend, Mr. Gardner, but if we do, you can tell me.
We're going to talk about the playoffs, first of all, and I want to talk about the physical cliff that got fixed at the last minute. And how it really was another situation for that one party to try to show up the president before the inauguration. And also, one of my friends showed me that 35 Republican senators voted against aid for disaster relief for Sandy.
Yes, yes.
35.
Mm-hmm.
And that shocks me.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's not like we're giving aid to, it's not like we're giving aid to another country. We're aiding ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that was shocking to me. So I want to talk about that.
Okay.
That's it.
And also on the master plan, which is on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're going to do some fantasy roundup, wrap-up, I should say, and also have some other sports talk to talk about. With that being said, Jeff, is there anything that you want to close the show out with before we're out of here?
Real quick, I tell you, I can't believe how undisciplined Florida looked last night, but college bowls aren't what they used to be. New Year's Day was 2, 3, 4 great games, and now it's all diluted. But that's just my 2 cents. Like to wish everybody a Happy New Year, and just, I don't know, make every day a good one.
With that being said, Mr. Gardner, I do it on your show, and I want you to do it on mine.
I got you, homie. For Jeff, why so serious, Joker? JQ ATM, I don't know. Yeah. Money Taylor. This is Mr. FSP. You've been listening to one of the best shows on the land. Picture music.
Yeah. It's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on.